Hello, everyone. We are live right now on the Lifetime Podcast, doing a simulcast between the recorded podcast and the live Tin Can app. So, here's the way this is going to go, since this is the first little simulcast that I'm doing between the two. For those of you who have mainly listened to the podcast, and thank you for those of you in Kenya and the UK. I'm appreciating the support. But for those of you who are listening on the recorded podcast, there's an app called Tin Can, which some people are listening on already, that you can listen live. And today we'll be doing a Q&A. And then for those of you on the app, if there's any part of this that you miss, want to go back, listen to, you can find the podcast on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. And that is available. It's called Lifetime. It has a little blue L with a microphone. So you can search that on all of those platforms. So today we are here with Brighton Gregory. And we're going to be talking about Disney. And I'll let Brighton kind of introduce herself and talk a little bit about herself. Brighton?
Hi, I'm Brighton. I currently go to Auburn University, but this past, or since January, I've participated in what is the Disney College Program. And I'm a huge lover of Disney. My family's been going to Disney World about every other year since I was born. So I already have a big love of Disney, which made me want to do the Disney College Program and apply. And so, yeah, I was there from January until March. And then I was sent home for our world news today of the pandemic, you know, hashtag COVID-19. But there's a chance I may get to go back in the summer or go back at a later date.
Yeah, so like Brian was talking about, she's had a lot of experience there. And those of you who are live, obviously some of you have already been typing some things. Feel free to go ahead and ask questions. We'll have a Q&A segment a little bit later. But you guys live on the app can go ahead and feel free to ask questions to Brighton. Go ahead and type those below. So Brighton, go ahead and just kind of walk us through your side of the experience of arriving at Disney, being able to work there, the application process. Just kind of walk us through that.
Of course. So I'll start with the application process. So they have four different programs, which are Spring, Spring Advantage, Fall, and Fall Advantage. Basically, the advantage of the two seasons are just an extended amount of time, more like 6 months. And if you're applying for fall, applications open up in the spring. If you're applying for spring, applications open up in the fall before. So I chose to, I knew applications were opening. I think they open like October. And I was like, you know, I might apply, see what happens, because a lot of times it's about a 1 in 10 chance to get through on your first try, because the application process, you go online, you fill out kind of a, not necessarily a resume, but they have you fill in your work experience, your school experience, your any skills you have you can list, you know, your major, and then basic things like your name, date, where you live, where you're from, what all you're gonna be doing at school. And then if you get through the basic application part, you don't have to submit your resume, but you can. Then you get a WBI, which is a web-based interview. And to me, it felt a lot like a survey of kind of your tendencies and working in public service and customer service and working for Disney. They want somebody who's consistent and provides their own answers. So if you don't make it through that, a lot of times you just kind of are putting things that you think Disney might like. So it's questions like, are you a hard worker? Rate your scale from like 1 to 5. And they would ask a lot of these questions on kind of that rating scale on, you know, they would word them differently just so you're consistent with your answers. You have about 30 seconds to complete it. It takes about 20 to 30 minutes to complete online. If you make it past that, then you get a phone interview and you can schedule, they have times, they give you about a week pretty much of like 24 hours each day, which day would be the best time for you. And I think I chose like 8:15 on like a Tuesday night because I knew I'd be home. I knew I'd be able to be alone in my room. So I got my WBI, so I got my web-based interview, passed that, got my phone interview. And then it took about a few days for them to drop final decisions. And decisions were kind of dropped, I think, every Tuesday last semester. So in the fall, Tuesday was a normal drop date of, like, if they're considering you, if not. You can apply, like, the first night and then not be in consideration and, like, be holding out for, like, months. And sometimes they accept you on the last day. Sometimes they don't. It doesn't mean, like, it's not, like, a bad sign if you're in consideration for a while. It just kind of depends on who they're accepting at the time. Sometimes they accept, like, all the entertainment people after all the auditions, because all these auditions are going on at one time, or, like, they accept a lot of quick service beverage on one Tuesday of one month, and then merchandise people on another. Like, I've heard just different variances like that. So overall, it took about, like, 9 days from when I first applied to when I got accepted, which is pretty fast, and it was pretty fast for me doing it on kind of, like, a whim to see if I would get accepted and to see if it would work out. So then I talked to my advisor. My advisor knew nothing about it. I think just in the education world, which is my major, I guess people should know that, it's not really applicable to do, like, some Disney program, like, such as business or hospitality. But one of my other advisors knew it, but she was like, you know, if you wanted to take the semester off and kind of do this, like, you're able to, like, you can push back. Because I had so many credits built up already, like, I'm not necessarily behind in any way, but I wasn't in a rush to finish everything and finish college, like I had been, like, freshman year. So, yeah, it kind of worked out to where I would be able to go. And once you're accepted, you have 3 days to accept your, position, I guess, your role. I got a role in merchandise, so I had 3 days to accept that, and then I had up to 7 days to pay my program fee, and it was about $150 for program fee and then about $240 for housing fee, and that housing fee covers your rent the first week you're there, going through orientation, training, housing events, and everything. So that really helps. So it's a lot up front. It was about $400, and then you have 7 days to pay that. And if you don't pay it or you don't accept your role, a lot of times, like, that puts you out of consideration. Like, you're not able to, like, reapply at a later date, like, as in for the next program. So you have to do that pretty fast, which is kind of stressful if you're like me and did it on kind of a whim and was like, well, I don't know if I want to do this now. And, like, I had other things such as, like, band and schooling to worry about that I was having opportunities to do in the spring that I, you know, was conflicted about. But, yeah, and so I paid my fee, did everything, and then once you pay your fee, you're able to choose when you want to arrive. And so I chose a later date in January just to give me some time to pack and do everything once Christmas was over. So my arrival date was January 27th. You got to link up with one other person, and you choose your housing preferences. They have 4 different complexes: Vista Way, the Patterson Court, the Commons, and Chatham Square. And I chose Vista because it was the oldest, so it meant it was pretty much the cheapest. One thing we liked about Vista Way was that it did not have bunk beds, because some apartments were triple occupancy, which meant there was a bunk bed and then a twin bed all in one room. And the girl I linked up with, we were like, we don't want that. And so we put that as kind of a lower whatever. If you did have triple occupancy, it was a cheaper room. So depending on, like, just, it was a cheaper room, but for a newer apartment. So it was kind of, it's a trade-off. And honestly, sometimes you get your first choice. Sometimes you do get your last choice, which is hard. But we chose Vista, and that's how you link up with somebody. So I got to link up with another girl from Auburn University. We got coffee. She was super sweet. She's a year older than me. She's a school year grade above me. She's a junior, I guess. But she's about 2 years older than me. That's beside the point. So we linked up. This was, like, early December. You have a bunch of forms to fill out as you're getting closer to your arrival date. You have a lot of, like, businessy stuff, your taxes, bank deposit kind of thing. They have forms for you to fill out, like, about the company, you know, going through safety, their policies on health, like, policies on show courtesy, like, their guest services, like, you know, disclosing information, you know, like, it's not all necessarily, like, secret stuff they're showing you, and then you have to say not to do, but, I mean, you know, as a cast member, you do get things, so they're just putting that privacy policy kind of in place. And then, I guess by that time, is ready to go.
So what was the feeling like when you got there for the first time?
When I got there for the first time, it was definitely, it wasn't scary, but it was kind of nervous because I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I was excited. I was super excited. I was excited to get to meet my roommates. I was excited to have my own like little apartment to help decorate with and be on my own. Because this was truly like one of my first times ever being alone in a new city, or maybe not new, but just being 6 hours away from my family and not just 20 minutes down the road. So that was probably a big thing, was just like being excited, but also nervous because I didn't know what to expect, but I know Disney, and I like, it was comforting to be working for Disney, having these parks and Walt Disney World just right there in my backyard to go play at and hang out at. And
so Brighton, when you got there, first day on the job, what was that like for you?
So what you do is you go through, you have orientation, which is at Disney University. That's the cute little sign everybody sees. And then you have, like, I had another training day there, like a class for merchandise operations, park operations. And then on the job, you have, like, your on-the-job training. But I'm trying to think of my first day, like, alone, kind of. I feel like it's pretty nerve-wracking, I think. But at the same time, I knew, like, I was still learning, so I wasn't scared to, like, get in trouble or anything. And you're really just, you can hang out with guests. Oh, I remember it now. My first day on the job, kind of alone, I was a greeter at the Pirates of the Caribbean shop. And Nate, basically, they make you just hang out with guests for, like, 6 hours. Like, hang out. You don't really do register things because you're not necessarily register trained at that moment. But that was kind of like my first, like, by myself, you know, playing with guests. You know, I was straightening up the shop a little bit. Normally they have, like, other people to help do that. Like, that's a different job title, but it kind of keeps you busy. But yeah, it was good. And everybody was, like, all my coworkers were super sweet. And especially that first day, I was like, I had somebody, like, call a coordinator because I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. But she was like, you know, you'll just hang around. Like, you know, we'll get you to take a lunch in a little while. Like, you'll go through, help guests with anything they might need, play with snakes. We call it merchantaining. So merchandise plus entertaining. So we had these snakes we would, like, roll around, and they looked really lifelike. A lot of the little kids loved them. So, yeah, I was definitely nervous because I've never had a real job before like that. Like, as in customer service, registers, you know, willy-nilly guests who sometimes have that vacation mode turned on.
So when you worked at Pirates of the Caribbean, did you get costumes right off the bat? Kind of talk about that, because I know a lot of cast members, they call you. I know a lot of cast members tend to get costumes. Kind of talk about that experience.
Yeah, so my first day of training, which they call for merchandise Tier 1, my Tier 1 training, we actually met at Magic Kingdom Costuming. And it's a big building right next to the bus stop that takes you to the Magic Kingdom, like where you work. So it's a whole different parking lot, and then it takes you, because there's security clearance they have to go through, and you have to present your ID, you have to have it on you, but the shop is right next to the bus stop. And so you go in, and we met. I actually didn't know where you were supposed to meet inside the costuming place, so I stood there for like 5 minutes, and this lady was like, can I help you with anything? I was like, I'm here for a training. And she was like, okay. And then she was like, well, there's some Adventureland people back in the back where the shoe shop was. And so I was like, okay. So I walked back there, and then my trainer, who was super cool, he came up and he was like, are you Brighton? Like, I'm here for your Tier 1. And it was me and this other girl who were training on the same day. So to get costumings, he helped us go through. We had about 4 costumes to get. My Adventureland costume, which is kind of the Aladdin shop, my pirate costume for Pirates of the Caribbean shop, my stock costume if we were ever going to be stalkers and for our stock training, and then we have a glow costume for the glow carts in Magic Kingdom. And so what we did was he helped us, like, find them in the costuming place. It was super big. It kind of reminded me of a laundromat, like, just got them lines of the same costume, sizing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, and the sizing is super weird because it's, some costumes are like unisex, and then some costumes are like specifically female, male, and they have guidelines, and they have what's the Disney look. And so basically, Disney has this very detailed like outline of what you're supposed to look like on the job, in your costumes, not in costumes, business casual. And so my trainer helped us that day when we were trying on our costumes. We would try them on, come out, he would show us. Like, for instance, one of my pants legs were too short, and so I had to go get the larger size up, and he helped us like get those clothes and everything. So that's kind of where we had those costumes, and then he explained where we would use them, where we'd wear them, what training we wear them for, what days, like what zone we wear them for our specific land in Magic Kingdom. And so, yeah.
Which one was your favorite costume?
My favorite costume was definitely probably my Adventureland costume, because it is referred to as the pajama costume. They're not as like cozy and like soft as pajamas, but they're definitely pretty breezy. They've got great ventilation, but they're also the most colorful costume I think I've ever seen. And so they were a lot of fun to wear. And they came with a cute little hat.
So we're talking before, you've been to Disney a lot. Now you've worked for Disney. What's been the biggest difference to you between the two?
Oh, interesting question. Mm-hmm. I guess like a main difference is obviously like when I'm at Disney working as a cast member, I am working. Yeah. I'm there for the guest. I am not a guest. And so I guess the biggest difference is just kind of having like two different mind, like, transitions. Like, I'm guest mode, I'm cast member mode. So as a cast member, you're always on, you're there for the guests. You're all, if you're on stage, you're, you know, in your show, you're trying to do the best you can to smile, you know, continuously. You're helping them out, you're helping your fellow cast members out for sure. Whereas as a guest, you know, you're thinking about the next thing you're going to do in the park, what you're going to buy. You're not like having to think about being there for cast members. You're not having to think about like, you know, you do your best. And now as a cast member, like, they're definitely combined now. Mm-hmm. If I'm in the park as a guest, like, I think of the cast members, I think more of, you know, picking up trash if I've left it there. Or any small thing like that, even if it's not mine, like, that sort of thing.
So, what's something that guests do whenever they're just around the park or on rides that tends to annoy the cast members the most?
I say this with love and grace, but if a guest thinks they're entitled to something, that is probably what might annoy like the cast member the most. It's just like if a guest thinks they deserve like an extra ride on a ride, or, you know, deserves any like merchandise or special drink. And I mean, we try to make magical moments for guests, and like we'll offer them. And most of the time, like as Disney, like we're able to help a guest out or anything, but if they just kind of automatically assume that, then it is hard because there are millions of other guests in the parks, you know, at the resorts in Orlando who want to think the same thing. And so it's very hard to kind of like adjust that.
So what a lot of people may not know is actually under Magic Kingdom, there's a bunch of tunnels. There's an entire tunnel system for the cast members. Talk about that a little bit.
So the tunnels aren't actually tunnels. They're just underneath the Magic Kingdom. The Magic Kingdom is actually built on a second story, which is very, you can kind of see it, but not really. The tunnels are a big thing that we use to get around, and especially because in the Magic Kingdom, there are different lands and different costumes and show for each land. That's a big reason for the tunnels. They're okay. I mean, they're not as secretive as everybody like makes it out to be. Yes, you can't get there like as a public person unless you like pay thousands of dollars for a tour. But you can tour the tunnels. They smell bad. I'm not gonna lie. It's very, the worst sound in the world is the big trash chute they have of all the trash going out of the Magic Kingdom. And especially going towards Adventureland, that's where the trash chute like follows down the tunnel. So you just hear all this banging all the way going down. And it's not like a continuous thing. Like, trash isn't always, like, flowing down there. Like, I don't really know the schedule they have. But you're just like, oh, that's nice. Like, you hear it. It can be loud in the tunnels. It definitely makes me think of the 90s going down there. I don't know why. It's just very retro, like, everything. But
What to you? You talk about creating magical moments for other people. What was the most magical memory for you while you were working there?
So while I was working, I guess one of the moments I remember most getting to make magic for a guest was my last night. There was this little girl who had a birthday. She had a birthday shirt on, a birthday button. And she's probably like 4 years old, like very young. But I was on a glow cart, so I was selling bubble wands. And I was able to gift her with a bubble wand for her birthday. Because, you know, she was super sweet. She was polite. She was waiting there. But she was also super excited to have a bubble wand. And so, and especially for the mom who was standing there with her, she was super appreciative to have, like, you know, not have to pay for a bubble wand, but to also just see the joy on this little child's face. And so I don't know if the child necessarily understood, but the mom definitely did. And that was pretty worth it as well.
So what is your favorite ride out of all the times you've been, now you've worked there? What's been your favorite ride?
So my favorite ride out of the whole Walt Disney World is probably Tower of Terror in Hollywood Studios.
And why?
I guess I like the, like, eeriness of it. I like, it's supposed to be scary, but it's not necessarily scary. But if you do a good job, you can just, like, pretend, kind of. But it's also a super fun, like, roller coaster type, like, thrill ride where you're going up and down. And I like the feeling that gives you. But it's not like other drop rides where you're, like, outside and about to, like, fall off the face of the earth. Like, I feel more safe inside this little elevator thing. So that's probably why.
So aside from being inside the park and working, what was your favorite memory while being there?
My favorite memory while being there? There's so many. One of the first nights my roommates and I, like, one of the only nights we actually got to spend all six of us together going out before we all just had our work schedules come in, we got to go resort hopping. And so we got on the monorail, we went to the Polynesian Resort, we walked to the Grand Floridian Resort, we walked to the Wedding Pavilion, which was super pretty. But we just got to, like, take a bunch of pictures together and kind of start off our program on a really good, like, foot with everybody. So that was a lot of fun. And we went to eat at Disney Springs because it was one of my roommate's birthday, like, the first week we got there. And so we got to do something special for her as well. And so, yeah, that was probably one of my favorite moments.
Part one, what's the advice that you would give to a guest coming into the park? And part two, what's advice you'd give to someone who's going in to work there?
Okay, so I guess to a guest, I would just say to not expect perfection. Because it's your vacation, because you want it to go perfectly, nothing's perfect. So I would, you know, just... as a guest, like, yes, it's your vacation and we want to do everything for you, but I would extend grace to those other guests who are right there with you. Extend grace to the cast members and just know that we're all trying so hard, but it gets hot some days, things don't go our way, some things won't go your way. And just to be flexible as well, like, your family will thank you for it, like, your kids, your spouse, whoever you're with will thank you for just, like, you know, yes, have your schedule, be on time, but also be flexible because things happen. There's traffic. There's, like, millions of guests there. There's cast members who, you know, have had a rough day, and we try not to let that affect us, but sometimes it does, or sometimes we just really do not have those t-shirts in stock, despite what the app says. So, yeah.
Did you ever have anyone explicitly get upset with you?
I did. I did have a guest get upset with me. Whenever we're taking discounts, we're like an annual pass holder, we have them show our card, their card, or the app. And you're supposed to, if you show the card, it's supposed to be an updated card. So until, you know, 2021. But I did have this one guest show me a card from like 2014. And I was like, unfortunately, sir, you know, your card's not up to date. If I could just see your app and see your tickets. And he got very visibly upset with me that I wouldn't take his discount. And sometimes I'll, like, let it slide if it's, like, 2019, sometimes even 2018, depending on how, like, nice I'm being. But I was, like, 2014, I need to let him know that, like, not everybody will accept this because he needs a new card. And And he only bought something for like $7. And I was like, man, it's not really that worth it. But he was going on about how he spent so much money to be here and how he just, nobody's working with him. Nobody's like helping him. And I was like, you know, if we can get you to guest relations, they'll be able to help print you out a new card. But yeah.
So after all this time going there so much, working there, we'll do this as a closing note. What is something that after all this time still remains magical to you about Disney?
I mean, the whole thing's still magical to me. Like, I still am excited to go back as a guest or even as a cast member. Each day is kind of different as a cast member, so it never really, like, ruined it. But something that's still magical to me is probably still the fireworks. Like, still getting to see the show, and especially on my last two nights, I was able to see the show with my coworkers whenever we found out we were going to have to go home. And so that was a really sweet moment, and will just continue to probably be a like magical moment until the day I die. Even if they updated or changed the fireworks, like, it's still sweet to see like the different shows that pop up on there, the movies, and just how much they mean to me and the fireworks. And my first kiss was in front of the fireworks at night and in front of the castle. So I think it'll always be magical and special to me. But yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Brighton. Again, this has been Brighton Gregory, and she worked for, unfortunately, just a couple of months at Disney. But she was able to work at Disney, had a really cool experience. If those of you who are listening live, you can go back and listen to this on the Lifetime podcast. It's available Spotify, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, and Stitcher. Thank you to everyone on the Tin Can app for listening live. And thank you, of course, the most to Brighton. All right. Well, until next time. Thank you all for listening. God bless and goodbye.